The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. But about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as in the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, and one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together. One will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. My worship assistant this morning was Ian Hamilton. He was the one that just gave the financial update a few minutes ago. And he was in my office, and I came in my office, and Ian asked me, Pastor Sheldon, how are you today? And I said, I'm nervous. And I'm nervous as I stand here before you today as well. And I'm nervous for two main reasons. The first reason I'm nervous is that something happened this morning that's kind of put me a little bit off kilter. You see, as my week goes on, I kind of get in a fair routine. Yes, there's new things that come up, things that need to be attended to, pastoral situations. But in the midst of that, one thing's for certain every week. This time that I spend with you. And I hope it's certain in your life as well. And it goes like this. Read, pray, read some more, pray some more, study, read, pray, etc., etc., until we come to this day here. A sermon's been composed, it's been prayed about, I've thought about such things as what does this mean to our context, what's the gospel for us in our situation, what's the word of law or judgment for us, the good news for here, us, Zion Lutheran Church, North Battleford. And I've gone to that point today. But something happened pretty early this morning. My wife will attest to this as I woke her up. God had put kind of a restlessness upon my heart. It seems the sermon that I worked to write wasn't God's sermon for me or for you today. So I have a different sermon. But it's a sermon that was put together at 3 a.m. this morning. So it might not be quite as polished. There might be a lot. But, you know, if it goes well, give God the glory. If it goes wrong, give me the heck, all right? It's a good deal for God, it's a bad deal for me. That's the first reason I'm nervous. Because, you know, I'm walking on a tightrope here. The second reason I'm nervous this morning is for those who are astute observers will realize I'm dressed different. Who here realized I was dressed different today? Anybody? Good. Because, this is where things might go off the railing. We're used to our pastors looking a certain way. Male or female, young or old, regardless of ethnicity, we're used to our pastors looking a certain way. They tend not to dress like this. Maybe before church, maybe after church, maybe during the week, but during this hour and 10 minutes that we spend together, they tend not to look just like this. They tend to wear one of these, right? This looks more natural to you. I'm pretty natural wearing it. I've been wearing one of these since seminary, probably 6-7 years ago. Whether I'm assisting in church, leading church, communion, preaching, I'm used to wearing the white alb. And then, another thing you're used to. So something special that happened at my ordination as I knelt down and made promises before our bishop, Bishop Cindy. I got one of these. And this is how you're used to seeing me. In the morning. So this, white alb, stole, matches the color and the theme of the Sunday. Could be green, could be purple, could be white, could be red. Just never know. Depends how things are going. Now why do I wear this? Well, the reasons are ancient and old, like everything in the church. Jesus wore a white flowing alb. In fact, we heard last Sunday how the guards had a little game of gambling to see who would get his alb while he hung on the cross. Elijah and Elisha from the Old Testament, mantles were worn to signify the ministry they were called to. And throughout the history of the Christian church, and in many ways in the Jewish tradition as well, whether it be Aaron or Moses or the priests and the Levites who came after them, certain religious clothes were worn by religious professionals. Those who were called by God to lead people, to preach the word, to hold people accountable, and in the Christian church to preach the good news. So, when you come here into this church, you expect me or whatever minister is here, Pastor Roger, Pastor Val, a visiting minister, to be wearing something like this. And this kind of says, hey, I'm the quarterback. I know what I'm doing. You know? I'm like the Kent Austin. No, he's coach now. There can be choirs up here. There can be assistants up here. There can be all sorts of things happening up here. But I'm the guy that gets to wear this. So I should know what I'm doing. I'll let you decide that for yourself. Clothes are an important thing. There's other important religious garb that I have in my clothes. You guys might recognize this one. Yeah, the clergy shirt. Now, I don't wear it a whole lot, but there's some times when this shirt is really handy. Take, for instance, going to a hospital. If you want to break down a lot of barriers in the intensive care unit, the cardiac care unit, the neonatal intensive care unit, if you want nurses and doctors to talk to you, if you visit a strange person from a Lutheran church somewhere else, and they see you wearing this shirt, they automatically know who you are. If you're visiting someone with Alzheimer's and they see you in this shirt, they know who you are. This is like a big flaming name tag that says, hey, I'm a minister. I'm a professional. I know what I'm doing. I'll let you decide that. Another piece of religious wardrobe. Interesting. To hear a story about this. This is from last year. I did a little unscientific test. The food bank's empty stocking campaign. That's where you stand in a mall, liquor board store, another high visibility place. You ring the bells, there's a big booth beside you. People are to put their money into the booth to support the food bank or the empty stocking campaign. I took two shifts last year, a Wednesday and a Thursday, both afternoon shifts, 1 till 5 at the Frontier Mall, and I stood outside the Real Canadian Wholesale Club. The first day, I wore this shirt. I wore a nice black coat, nice black slacks. I might have even polished my shoes. That day in that shift, I raised over $400. Now, the next day, I wore a clean pair of jeans, a sweater, and a decent coat, and running shoes. Guess how much I earned that day? $85. What a power in this black shirt with a plastic cuff on it. It's amazing. Of course, the only way you can buy one of these, you have a special license, you know. No, that's not. Also, for those of you who like attention, try wearing this shirt to McDonald's with your family while she's having the princess birthday party. You'll make sure people are watching. These are just some of the clothes in my repertoire for my calling, for my profession, for what I engage in. But these aren't the only clothes I have. It's been snowing a lot here in Saskatchewan. It's cold, it's ugly outside. Guess what? It's minus 30, minus 50 with a wind chill. I'm outside shoveling. I'm not wearing an alb and a stole out there. I'm not wearing a little black short sleeve shirt with a plastic collar. I'm putting on my skidoo suit. I imagine most of you would too. If it's cold, if it's windy, if it's ugly, you're going to dress appropriately. This is Saskatchewan. Big boots, warm clothes, heavy toque. My boots are dressed up in my tickle trunk here. I wonder what... Now, if it's time to build a deck or to frame a house, I'm not wearing my skidoo suit. I'm not wearing the awl. I'm not wearing the shirt. I'm wearing my overalls and my hard hat. I need to wear these. These are protection. Nice, thick pants. Don't care if I get them dirty. Don't mind if I rip them on a nail. My hard hat, that's been CSA approved. That keeps my head safe. A lot of workplaces, you have to have your hard hat on. Need the right tools for a job? You have a nail, you need a hammer. You're working, you need tough clothes, the right protection. Just depends. Now for the kids out there, see if you can guess this one. What do you think, guys? What's this one for? Oh, good job, Bailey! This is for hunting. I have to wear this by law. This makes me, depends how you look at it, could make me a high visibility target. But, it's all a matter of perception after all. These are the clothes I wear for hunting. I've had a few good weeks of hunting this year. Put a little meat in the freezer. This is what I wore. But of course, this is for hunting. It's obvious. If I'm downtown North Battleford and I'm walking around this, it's pretty clear I just came from hunting or I'm going hunting. Believe it or not, last week I was in Canadian Tire buying some shells wearing this, and I'm in the line standing there, and someone said to me, "Are you going hunting?" Like I wear this around just for my own pleasure during the week. But it told that person I was up to something. Just like that religious shirt, just like the awl, just like my snowmobile suit, just like my working overalls and hard hats, this says to people, "Hey, I'm out chasing Bambi." Chasing Bambi. Now, when did I wear this one? You need to guess. Now, I don't wear this one. But my daughter wears this one. If she wants to play Barbie dolls and Polly Pockets and have them all dance with the prince and marry them all off at the end, she puts on her dress because it whisks her away to a magical world. She's like a princess. She's at the ball. She gets to dance with the prince. She's 4. Interestingly, what's their favorite cartoon? Take a guess. Cinderella. And what's the whole premise of Cinderella? A girl that gets new clothes. It is. No one recognizes her. She doesn't get new teeth. She doesn't get a new haircut. She gets a pair of shoes and a dress. We have a real obsession with clothes. Clothes are important. Some clothes we wear for certain situations. The skidoo suit. The hunting outfit. The work pants. The hard hat. Many clothes are prescribed to us. If we're a nurse, if we're a doctor, if we're a dentist, if we're a mechanic, electrician, carpenter, plumber, we have certain uniforms we wear. In many ways they're functional, but in many ways these clothes tell the world a lot about who we are. In the hospital we recognize nurses, we recognize doctors. We go to the car dealership, we recognize the mechanic from the salesman. The clothes we wear say a lot. They're important. And often, the clothes that we buy say a lot about us. Do we buy trendy clothes? Do we buy fashionable clothes? Do we often find ourselves buying new clothes? Why do we do that? Is it because our old pants don't fit anymore? In my case, maybe, but mostly, it's because we want to convey to the world something about ourselves. That man is stylish. He's with it. That woman's a sharp dresser. She's with it. Or maybe, newer clothes present something about our financial status. We can afford to wear newer jackets, newer pants, better watches, newer shoes. They make us feel better. They keep us just as warm as our old clothes. They're just as functional as our old clothes, but they don't make us feel as good. Clothes are important. And we all have clothes we wear. Clothes we wear for work, clergy shirts, all stoles. If you're a plumber, electrician, as I said, if you're a guard, if you're a teacher, it doesn't matter. A few weeks ago, I was downtown Saskatoon walking in the market mall. And there was a big women's clothing store. And guess what it had in the sign? On sale. Cruise wear. Yes, if you go on a cruise, there's special clothes to wear. Amazing, isn't it? Even on holidays, we have special clothes that we need to wear. Now, why is this important? St. Paul, in today's reading, talks about clothing ourselves with Christ. Yesterday, we had a confirmation day. And we talked about baptism. And we talked about in baptism, how Paul writes in Galatians, for all of you who have been baptized have clothed yourselves with Christ. That Christ has enveloped us. That we wear Christ in the world. That Christ has a purpose on us. Just like all these clothes, Christ is covering us. Christ is providing us with something. And this is an important thing. St. Paul carries this idea further in Ephesians. Listen to Paul from Ephesians. Finally, be strong in the Lord, in the strength of His power. Put on the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Stand therefore and fasten your belt of truth around your waist. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now that's quite a military view of our Christian life. Paul seems to think that we're at war. And in Paul, there's a war between the light and the darkness. There's a war between the good and the evil. There's a war that happens on a heavenly level. That place where Christ comes from. That place where sins are forgiven. That way we're able to enter the eternal kingdom of God. And there's a war that happens here on the earthly level. The war of the flesh. A war of sinfulness. And Paul says to us in today's reading that we are to wear Christ. What's happening? According to Jesus in today's gospel reading, times are tough. And times are going to get worse. Christ says the day is coming. Two guys will be out in the farmyard, and one will be plucked up. Hey, Joe, you got that 3/8 wrench? Joe, where are you? Two women will be at the mill. One will be taken up. Are you ready for this event? Because you don't know when the hour is going to happen. You don't know the time, like a thief in the night. You can't prepare yourself for it. But what you can prepare for is your own life. This is the word that Christ gives us. Paul gives us the good news. Paul says, we're not alone. We wear Christ. We have that shield. We have that breastplate of righteousness. We have that helmet of salvation. We have that sword of faith. We have shoes that take us with the gospel. And we hear these words of Christ, these words of this day of judgment coming, these words of problems, of strife coming. It's our instinct as humans, this self-preservation that we have, to run away from that. To try and hide in our basement, to dig a hole, to go deep, to hide here in church. That's not what we're called to. The good news for us is that we wear Christ. Christ is our protective armor. He's like our hard hat. He's like our bright orange coveralls, our breastplate of righteousness, our sword of the Spirit, our hat of salvation, our shoes that carry us the good news. And Paul tells us, and Christ tells us, we have the light. We were given the light in our baptisms. Let your light so shine before others. And Paul says to us, you run right into the darkness. Don't run away from the darkness. Run right into it. And do not be afraid because you have been blessed and you are protected by Christ. Take your light into the darkness. Don't worry. Christ has clothed you. Christ is protecting you. You see, being a Christian isn't about hiding. It's not about non-confrontation. Being a Christian is about service, it's about action, and it's about shining the light of Christ into the dark places of the world, the dark places of our community, the dark places of our church, the dark places of our lives, the dark places to shine the light of Christ. And Christ says, I am with you, I have protected you, I have clothed you, you can make it. That's a powerful message of hope, and it's a message of liberation. Because it sends us out into the world. Not worried just to find the right people, the right places, the right things we agree with. Not to form our own little communes, our own little communities, where we convince ourselves we're right, they're wrong, we're good, they're bad. Uh-uh. We're called to go out. To spread ourselves, to extend ourselves, to go to those spots we don't even want to go to. But the good news for us is we are not alone. We go to them wearing Christ. We have been gifted with the gift of Christ in the baptismal font. As the water washes over us, Christ envelops us, and Christ continues with us, giving us the tools and resources we need to step out of ourselves, out of our comfort zones, and to be His people in the world, proclaiming the good news, shine a light into the darkness. And that's what this whole Advent time is all about. Increasing the light in the darkness. Because the world without Christ is a very dark place. And as Christians, we are called to increase the light. And we do that by our acts of service. We do that by our acts of charity. We do that by our acts of stewardship. We do that by our acts of proclaiming the good news of Jesus to all who will listen. That's the good news for us. We are clothed with Christ. We are protected. We are free to be God's people in the world. Amen.